But again, we've been studying in the life of David, and you know, David's life is a lot like ours. There's all kinds of things that that come our way that you know, just a slow chug sometimes of how life is, and that's the way David's life is, just like mine and yours. I know sometimes we see these things and we think, boy, it'd be exciting to live in those days. Well, it's probably as exciting in those days, was exciting in those days, as it is many times for us today. I mean, there's, Solomon said, writing later on in the book of Ecclesiastes, there is nothing new under the sun. All right? Times change, and I guess we could even say that, you know, faces and people change, but the events and the things that happen in this world, there is seldom something different than what you and I have seen in our lives. So let's look, if you will, in 2 Samuel chapter number 7. And let's just look at this thought tonight, if you will, with us. This is a study that is, you know, kind of compact and right at the idea of all the things that David has accomplished thus far, and hadn't been that far into his kingship. But as he gets in there, he is noted for having brought peace, and the Bible says here's some rest into the land. So I'm glad for that, all right? I'm glad that David has done that. And here in chapter number 7, we're going to call this the David's dream for a tabernacle of the Lord, because that's really what he's thinking about, okay? So let's just read a few verses, if you will, and begin with me in verse number 1. And it said, "And it came to pass, when the king sat in his house, and the Lord had given him rest round about from all of his enemies, that the king said unto Nathan the prophet, See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And Nathan said to the king, Go, do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David, Thus saith the Lord, Shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, saying, Why build ye not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I've cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and I've made thee a great name, like unto the name of the great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, neither shall the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time, and as since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies. Also, the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house." Let's stop right there and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for this evening. Thank you for loving us and giving us this time to be here tonight. Be a blessing in this time and just help us to rejoice, be glad and thankful for all you've shown us and the things that you've done, things you're doing. And I pray just open the scriptures to our heart, give us some ideas, some thoughts, and some lessons from this evening's study, and we'll praise you for that. Save the lost, burden our hearts for that, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. As I said, we're going to talk about David's dream of building a house for the Lord. Now, again, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week. You can want to do good things and have good intentions, and, you know, it looks like on the outside of it, there's nothing wrong with doing, you know, whatever. And the only thing is, and I think this is the important lesson we're going to learn out of all this that is said, you've got to learn to consult, pray, and ask the Lord before you do a lot of things. And that's exactly what's going on here with David. And I'm not, you know, you could sit there and say, man, David wanted to build the Lord a tabernacle. He wanted to build a temple. He wanted to build a church, whatever, you know, however you want to look at it. He wanted to build it. That's got to be a good thing. But as you begin to hear this and see what the Lord says back and forth to him, it's a little different story, really, when you look at it in the long run. First of all, notice this. First of all, you notice that David's comfortable house. Look what it says in verse number 1. And it came to pass when the king sat in his house, when the Lord had given him rest round about from all his enemies, that he said unto Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. I mean, David said, look, I've got a nice place. I've got a good house. I've been able to build all of this, and God's blessed me, and God's given me all of the things that are within my kingdom, and here I am in a real comfortable position, in a real comfortable house. And just think about the ark of God over there that it doesn't have it. And I'm telling you, hey, nothing wrong with any of that. I mean, really, when you look at this, God has blessed David, hasn't he? God's blessed him. I mean, he's sitting there in his house. He doesn't, God's giving him rest from all the enemies. Nobody's in a battle. Nobody's in a fight. Everybody is pretty settled that David's the king and there's no reason to attack the kingdom. And David's got soldiers and David's got land and David's got a house. And I mean, everything's going his way. And so you know what David does? He does what me and you do a lot of times. He sits around and he starts thinking. Amen? That's dangerous sometimes for us, isn't it? I mean, when you get to thinking, somebody said, boy, you better be careful about that thinking when you ain't equipped. Amen? I mean, some of us are really in trouble when we get to thinking and we ain't got nothing to think with. But that's what's happened, okay? David is sitting around and David is just thinking. I mean, he's thinking, no doubt, again, he's probably thinking some good things. He probably thought, boy, can I tell y'all how God's been good to me? Can I tell y'all how much God's done? Can I tell you? And I mean, really, again, it's a good thing. But don't you notice the second thought? And you see this, it is David's concerned heart. Look what he says to Nathan there in verse number 2. He says, see now, he said, look at this. I dwell in a house of cedar. I have got one of the finest places and palaces, places of a king anywhere, but the ark of God dwelleth within curtains. And what that indicates is that they had made some small tent, I don't know how small, but some place of a tent that's tabernacled with curtains, covered with curtains, and that's where they placed the Ark of God. If you look back, if you remember, in verse number 17 of chapter number 6, it says, and they, when they went and got the Ark of God, and that's what we talked about last time, they brought the Ark of the Lord and set it in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. So David has already made a place, but it's not a fabulous place. It's not a beautiful place. It's not a dramatic. It's not an architectural knockout. You know, there's nothing spectacular. It's just a plain little old place that David has set up, and he's put the Ark of God in it. And now he's sitting around thinking, boy, here I am with all of this, and look at where the Ark is. It's over here in a tent. It's in a place. And so his heart's concerned. And again, that's a good thing. And then notice this. His consultation that is heard. Listen to what it said. And he says to Nathan the prophet, he says these things. Now I dwell in a house of cedar. But look what it says in verse number 3. And Nathan said to the king, go. Do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. When you look at that, David is consulting with his main prophet at that day, which was Nathan. And this is the first time we're introduced to Nathan. We hadn't seen him before any of this, but David had, you know, had consulted at other times with Abiathar, one of the priests, and whoever was around him at that time that had the priestly garments and the Urim and the Thummim, and they would, many times David would ask and God would give an answer to it. But now David is sitting around and thinking, and he said, boy, you know, I'm sitting in a great place here, all this stuff's good. God's ark doesn't have a place, so I want to build a house for him. And Nathan looks at him, and I mean, what do you say? Amen. If the president came in and told us something, and I mean, what do you say? Sound like a good idea to me. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? But if you'll think of it, I think a lot of it is involved with this. Nathan says, you go do whatever's in your heart. But I believe we'd all be better served. Nathan even implicated this. Sounds great, but you better consult the Lord. Even in doing a good thing, you better consult the Lord. And I'll tell you, there's people all the time that want to do good things, but they don't ask God, and they just, you go right ahead with their plans. And you know what? Those plans may fail. And then people will look around like, well, what happened? I was trying to do a good thing. If you'll notice a lot of times, if you remember from previous time when we studied in the book of Acts, there was a lot of times Paul said he wanted to go and preach to these people. He wanted to go and carry the gospel here, there, whatever it was. But he was let hitherto. In other words, he was prevented from doing that by the Spirit of God. God said, don't go there. But he's wanting to do a good thing. Yeah, but the timing wasn't right. The place wasn't right. The people were not prepared. I mean, I don't know what it was, but God said, I need for you to do this first. Can I tell you, we'll all be better off if we'll simply ask God rather than try to do, as I say, a good thing, but do it within the spirit of ourselves. We can get in trouble when we try to do it ourselves. And buddy, let me tell you, y'all looking at number one right here on that. A lot of times I won't do something, and I think, you know, and God, it'd be good in his sight to do it. But hey, you better pray and see if it's not just a good thing, see if it's the best thing that needs to be done. So David, first of all, you see he has a determined conviction about this thing. It's a good thing to want to build a church or build a church house or build a place to worship or build something for God or do something. Whatever you're going to do, do it for God. Second of all, I want you to notice this. This is really the heart of this whole chapter, is the divine covenant that God makes with David. Notice how it starts out in verse number 4. And it came to pass that night. I mean, the same time that David had said this, and then Nathan said, well, you just do whatever, because God's with you, and you know, just be sure the Lord's in it, whatever you're doing, right? And it said, that night the word of the Lord came to Nathan saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord. I mean, I want you to get that. This is what God says. Amen? I know what David wants to do, and I know what's in David's heart, and I know what's on David's mind, and not that it's a bad thing, but this is what God says. This is the way the Lord sees it. So, first of all, look at this, and notice, God has a reminder for David. God's got a reminder for David. Look there in verse number 5. He said, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me a house for me to dwell in? He said, listen to this. Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but I've walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. In all the places wherein I have walked with the children of Israel, spake I a word with any of the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people Israel, and saying, why build you not me a house of cedar? Now therefore, so thus shall thou say unto David, my servant David, and thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep to be ruler over my people over Israel. And I was with thee whithersoever thou wentest, and I've cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight, and I've made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. God said, let's give David, first of all, a little reminder of who's in charge. Amen. Let's remind. He said, don't you know? He said, I want you to go tell David, hey, I've been doing pretty good without a house up till now. Amen. And can I tell you something? You know, people will say this all the time. Well, I can worship God and, you know, do this is good without the church. Well, okay, in one way that is true, but God has commanded today for us to have the church. And He inhabits the church. It is His place on the earth to function, not that it has to be a building of, you know, certain parameters and certain features and all that. That's not it. But I'm telling you, the church is down in here, y'all. I mean, when we come together as a body, we have the Lord living within us. And God said, I don't tell you, I was out there walking in the wilderness with the children of Israel. I was with them day in and day out. When they stopped here, moved there, I've been with them and I walked in tents and tabernacles. This ain't nothing. You got to hem me up and close me in. Amen. And that's what they're thinking, you know. That's what David, I guess we'd say, that maybe even David is thinking. David is saying, look, here's, boy, I want to build this place. As a matter of fact, we'll probably one of these days get to where Solomon is, and Solomon thinks the same thing. Solomon thinks that. Solomon does build a house for God. But if you remember, we quote that a lot of times, don't we? In 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, right? If my people would call my name, you know, you think about that. Well, you got to go back and read before that. And if you read before that, here's what Solomon says. Solomon says, God, if anybody has sinned, if anybody's done wrong, and they come to this place, Solomon is saying, this place that I've built, this place that I've established, this place that we're giving and we're making for you, if they'll come into this place, their sins will be forgiven them. And then God said, wait a minute. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, amen, and pray and turn from the wicked way and seek my face, then will I hear. It doesn't matter where, right? I mean, a lot of times people will do that. And I want you to know, I believe this is a holy place. This is God's house. This is God's church. This is the right place for God. But I'm telling you, don't get so mixed up and intermeshed with a building that you can't think, hey, God's outside these doors too. Now, He does command us to come together and worship and fellowship and do all that. But I'm telling you, you can't confine Him to a place, okay? We can't come out. He said, look, if you're thinking this is the only place I show up, you're in trouble. Amen. God walked in the cool of the day in the garden with Adam and Eve, didn't He? I mean, God showed up when his nephew Lot was down in Sodom. God showed up and stood face to face and talked to Abraham right there. I'm just telling you, hey, God showed up out in the desert and spoke to Moses from a burning bush. God can show up and will show up in a lot of places that you and I don't even understand about. Amen? But He said, look, let me give you a reminder, David. Who's in charge of this thing, really? He said, I want you to know, I was the one that took you out of the sheep coat. I gave you to be a ruler over Israel. I've been with you wherever you went. I've kept you. I've defended you. I've covered your life. I've took care of you. Hey, you're where you are because of me. Amen. Don't you start thinking you got to carry God. Amen. There's a lot of folks, oh, well, preacher, I got this necklace. I got this amulet. I got this, you know, thing, this picture of Jesus, and all I got to do is look at it and everything. That ain't God, y'all. I'm telling you, that right there ain't God. It's a reminder of what He did for us, but that ain't Him. Amen. You can't box Him up and keep Him. And David is saying, I mean, God's saying, David, look, I'll have me a place. But I want you to know, I'm the one that's in charge of this whole situation. He says in verse number 12, and when thy days shall be fulfilled, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom, And he shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Amen? Again, it's just God telling David here, look, I'm in charge. That's a reminder for David. And not only that, he said, let me just give you a little reminder about the nation of Israel. Look there in verse number 10. He said, moreover, I'll appoint a place for my people Israel, and I'll plant them that they may dwell in the place of their own, move no more. Neither shall any of the children of the wicked afflict them anymore as before time. He said, I got a reminder for you. Hey, this is bigger than you, David. This is something. I want to remind you of who I am. I want to remind Israel of who I am. And I want to remind all of you of something that's called forever. Amen. Look and notice, if you will, what the Lord says here about forever. Look in verse number 13. He's telling David what he's going to do. He said, he shall build an house for my name. Listen, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be his father. He shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with a rod of men and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. Listen in verse number 16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. He said, I want you to know, I'm going to establish your house and your kingdom. Now, think about this, really. I guess we could say and think it's a little play on words. David is wanting to build God a house, a building. God's going to build David a house as a dynasty in the things to come on down through the heritage until the day that Jesus is born. And then as Jesus comes back and rules and reigns forever, that'll be part of the dynasty and the lineage of David. He said, you want to build me a house, and that may be fine. That may stand for a little bit of time. He said, but I'm going to build you a house, and it's going to be there forever. You're going to be a king. Your son's going to be a king. And there's going to be somebody way on down the line. He's going to be the king of kings. Amen. He's going to be the king forever. And the Lord is just trying to get David to see this. And thine house and thy kingdom, verse 16, shall be established forever before thee. And thy throne shall be established forever. He said, I'm going to do this where you can see it. But then I'm going to do it beyond where you can see it. It's going to be something that's going to be in your time and in your day. I'm going to make you a king, and I'm going to make you a king forever. And I guarantee you, David wasn't thinking about it. David's like me and you, you know. We want something done now. And really, look at it like this. David, well, I mean, I don't want to get too political, but we will just for a minute. Do you know what every president wants to do? Every president that's ever been that I can think of, they want to leave behind, what do they say? A legacy. I'm going to leave behind something. You know what most of them do when they get out of office? And I think I heard them saying the other day, talking about this at the funeral of Jimmy Carter. They were talking about every one of them. I mean, every one of them I can think of. When they got through being president, what'd they do? They built a presidential library in some significant town to them. You know, Jimmy Carter, I guess his Carter Center's built up there in Atlanta. And Ronald Reagan has one out in California. And Richard Nixon had one, I don't know where, I think it's out in California somewhere. But everybody has their own, you know, the Bushes, they got theirs in Texas and whatever. They build that because it's part of their legacy. It's a way to be remembered, right? And that's what they want. We want everybody to remember us. Amen. Hey, I told somebody the other day, I remember Jimmy Carter. Y'all remember Jimmy Carter? Thank you, Jimmy Carter. I had a 13% mortgage interest rate on my house. Hallelujah to God right there. Amen. Boy, I remember that. You want to be remembered? Do something dumb like that. Give the Panama Canal away. I remember that. Amen. Y'all go ahead and smile because it's true, you know. But what I'm saying, they all want to be remembered. And David has said, look, I'm going to build God a house. They're going to remember me. God said, I don't need you to build me a house to be remembered. You don't need. He said, I'm going to build you a house so that it'll be remembered forever. If you look in your Bible and you study through the end of your Bible, you'll see that it talks about how that God is going to establish the throne of David forever. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to sit where? On the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. And he's going to be there to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever. Boy, now that's something to be remembered by. It ain't some little old piddly something jubilee. Because you know what? It won't be a great long while when Solomon builds his fabulous, extravagant, expensive temple for God that it gets torn down. It's destroyed by invading armies. It goes down to the ground. And you know what? A lot of folks that want to leave a legacy, hey, whatever they try to do, it goes down to the ground. But aren't you glad that God does something? He does it forever. Forever. Well, you see there in verse number 17, it said, according to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak unto David. Nathan went in and he said, let me tell you what God said. And then I want you to notice this. And I want to call this a devoted man's confession. Look here in verse number 18. King David went in and sat down before the Lord and he said, who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? You know, Nathan come in and told him, said, here's what God said. And it really got David to thinking then. David really got to thinking. And I'll tell you, David learned, first of all, a humbling lesson that every one of us should need to learn somewhere in our life. When you come before the presence of God and you start saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and really, sometimes within ourselves, we're thinking, I'm going to do this and everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to recognize me. Everybody's going to know that I did it. And you get to thinking like that. God said, let me humble you in a real quick minute. And that's what he's done for David. And David goes in and says, who am I? Oh, Lord, who am I? I'm nobody. And what is my house? What is my people, my legacy, my group that I'm going to leave behind, my heritage coming up, that thou hast brought me hitherto? Who am I that you would do this for me? And he said, this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. You mean, God, when Nathan told me, he said, I was going to have a lineage that would go on and on and on and on. He said, man, who am I that I should leave behind that kind of a legacy? He said, and for thou hast spoken also thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? He said, is this what happens to most men? No. It's not what happened. I won't tell you. All of those great leaders and kings and presidents and prime ministers and whatever you want to think of through time past, you know, they're all out there in a grave somewhere. And sometimes people go and they speak over them and they say nice things about them. But, hey, that fades away in a hurry, doesn't it? It goes by the wayside. That's the way of man. It's not anything where God said, I'm going to make you remembered forever. So you see David's humbling lesson. But second of all, look at David's history lesson. Verse number 23. He says, and what nation is there on earth that is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself and to make him a name and to do for you great things and terrible for the land and thy people which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and from their gods? For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever. And thou, O Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, even do as thou hast said. I mean, David says, boy, I hadn't even considered that humbling lesson you told me. And I certainly hadn't considered this history lesson that I do know. David knew the history of Israel, and he knew that God had done great things and brought him out of Egypt and brought him into this land and confirmed himself to them and, I mean, made Israel his people forever. I mean, sometimes you and I just need to remind ourselves. Can I tell y'all, Jesus died to save you. Amen? Every once in a while, you just need to turn around and let me kick you and see the pant. I'll turn around and you kick me and see the pant, and we'll find out we're saved by the grace of God. God, amen. Ain't nothing we've done. We're nobody. We're nothing. We ain't got nothing to claim of any glory. It's all Him, amen. Amen. I mean, hey, we need to wake up sometimes. Realize a little history. Jesus still died to save lost people. And me and you was lost. And me and you got saved. Amen. I'm just telling you. David said, look what you've done for Israel. Help us to remember that. Help us to realize what you have done. He said, and look, now, O Lord, look at verse 25. The word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant, the things you said about me and concerning my heritage, establish that just like you said you was going to. And you know what we all do every once in a while? God, just do what you said you was going to do. Just work in the church and lift up your people and encourage them and let the word go out and save folks and get us ready for Jesus to come again. Amen? That's what he's saying. So there's a devotee or a devoted man here that's making his confession. And it's a humbling lesson that he has to learn. It's a history lesson. But notice this, his honoring lesson that he gives. Look here, verse 26. And let thy name be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel. And let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee a house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore, now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing, let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Amen? David said, let me just praise God for what he's told me and what's going to happen. And he said, guess what? I didn't have anything to do with it. God did it all. God's done every bit of this. And he said, look, I think here's some things that the Lord wants me and you to know out of all this. Just wrote a few things down here that may be some lessons for us. First of all, I want you to realize that the Lord wants me and you to be obedient to Him rather, and He honors obedience more than sacrifice. We already know that, don't we? Isn't that what He told Saul? Saul said, well, look what I done. I'm going to bring some sheep. We're going to say, God said, that ain't what I told you to do. Samuel said, why am I here bleating the sheep and blowing the oxen? Well, we thought it'd be a good idea. Sounds like a good idea, but it ain't right. God wants me and you to obey Him. Wants us to be obedient to Him more than making sacrifices to Him. Second of all, the Lord offers a fellowship through His Word and a personal relationship with Him more than just a building. There's people who come in and they'll say, well, I'm in the church. Boy, everything's going to be holy going on in here. Listen, I've seen some unholy stuff going on in churches. Somebody say amen right there. You know, I've seen people do, and there's just silly stuff that goes on in the churches sometimes, right? I mean, I've been a kid, I know. I played games, and I talked, and I pinched people, and I poked them. Somebody say amen right there. Y'all done some of that same stupid stuff. Hey, it don't all get holy when you come through them doors. Amen? Huh? I know as people sit there with their telephones and they're flipping and they're flapping and a Facebooking and whatever they're doing. Say amen right there, because I know that. Y'all ain't fooling nobody, right? But I'm telling you, hey, it ain't the building that does it. It's what's on the inside of me and you. Amen. Right? It's what's on the inside of us. I mean, there's got to be a fellowship. There's got to be a relationship. There's got to be a meeting between a person that said, I want to meet with God today. Amen? And old David's sitting there thinking, boy, if I can just build a building. God said, I don't care about your building. Meet with me. We'll meet outside in the yard. We'll meet in a little tent, a little tabernacle. Come on and just meet with me. Amen. I just want you and me to get together. That's a lesson. The Lord wants to empower us through a humility that will help us do His will. God will empower us when we'll humble ourselves like David did. David said, oh me, God, I thought I was something on the end of the stick. God said, well, can I remind you who's in charge? I don't care what you want to do. Let's see what I want to do. Amen? And you get humble. And God will empower us. And we can serve Him and do His will. The Lord wants me and you to submit ourselves as unto Him as king. I mean, David's like, well, I'm a king. God said, big deal. We got the King of Kings up here. Amen. Amen? I mean, really, when you think about it, that's where David was. I'm the king. Yeah, well, you're a little king. And the Lord said, I'm the big king. Amen. Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So He wants you to submit yourself to Him as He is the King. He wants us to be humble and avoid any kind of pride when He blesses us. When He blesses you with some things, just be humble. Don't get your fingers and your suspenders and stay like, oh, what is it? You ain't done nothing. The Lord has blessed you. He's blessed you. And boy, you ought to be thankful and glad and proud and just be grateful for all of the blessings that He puts in your life. And then last of all, the Lord wants to bless you so you can bless somebody else. When He blesses you, bless somebody else with it. I mean, come in with a smile on your face. Say, hey, God bless me this week. Can I just be a blessing to you? Can I just encourage, can I pray for you, can I help you? I mean, whatever it may be, man. He has blessed you. He blessed David. And look, David's like, well, all this, well, hallelujah. Yeah, well, David, get ready. Bless somebody else, buddy. Bless somebody else. Don't start thinking you're the king, you're the top of the food chain, and everybody else is below. No. God blessed David, and He said, David, I want you to bless these other people. I want you to be a blessing to them that are under you, those that are serving as your vassals, if you will, your people underneath. I want you to bless them. And boy, I believe David is learning some of those lessons. Now, he'll still mess up because we're going to get there and he's going to mess up again. But man, it's a lesson for us to learn, a lesson for us to learn. Well, I just want you to look at that. Jesus is my Savior and my King. Amen. That's what He ought to be to every one of us. Jesus is our Savior and our King. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready. A little verse of a song.